Hey everybody, my name is Matt Walker, and this is going to be the first episode of my podcast. So I realize a lot of my friends and family haven't gotten an update from me in quite a while. I've been super busy. I've been working a lot and just saving up and staying focused on my goal to buy a house, and I finally did. So want to give everyone a quick update on what's been going on with me and how I bought a house at age 23. So I'm going to do a few more of these podcasts as well. Definitely going to continue this series, but I wanted to first say that whatever you want to hear about, whatever topics you want me to touch on, please shoot me over your topic ideas. I mean, I'm really into sustainability and I'm currently working for a battery company. So I'm happy to talk about, you know, personal stuff as well as technology or real estate, whatever you guys find interesting. Hoping to just make something you can listen to in your car so that, you know, you don't have to take a lot of time to listen to these, but maybe you can learn something while you're multitasking. So again, I'm 23 and I just bought a house by the beach in California. It's in Grover Beach. And I love being a homeowner because I work from home full time and it's just been getting crammed, you know, trying to work from co-working spaces, different friends' houses. I was living in my van for quite a while, so it was just getting really crowded. It's really nice to have a house, and there's a lot of projects to do. I bought something that needs a total cosmetic remodel, and ultimately, that's going to be a ton of work. But I'm super excited to learn more about construction and how to build things and fix things. And just being a handyman in general is a lot of fun for me. But I am a little overwhelmed at how many projects I have to, you know, looking down the pipeline. I've got probably a year's worth of work to do on this house since I'm doing it part-time. And I just, you know, with that overwhelmed feeling, I want to just take a step back and appreciate the process of getting to my goals instead of getting caught up in the end goal and just focusing on that and not enjoying the day-to-day. You know, working towards the goal is definitely part of the fun. So my end goal is not to just be a homeowner and have kids and settle down in this house and get four dogs and a white picket fence. My goal is to give people a sustainable option for housing. And in the long term, my hope is to buy raw land and turn it into a completely self-sufficient off-grid village style situation. But for now, I saw a lot of upside potential in this conventional single-family home. And I have a lot of learning to do, not only about financing and real estate, but also about construction and just fixing and building things. So I just needed to get started with something easy. So I'm going to basically run through how I managed to buy a house by age 23. I'm going to detail the purchase, kind of the numbers of the purchase, how much I paid, how much I put down, what kind of loan I got. And I'm going to kind of talk about how you can do the same even if you're not like me. So I want to be transparent first off and say that although I do believe this is entirely possible for anybody with any financial background, with or without help from your family, I just want to be transparent about my own situation because I hate when people make life seem so easy and they don't show you what's behind the curtain, what kind of help they're getting. So I have an amazing family and they've been supporting me my whole life and they helped me through college immensely. And they even, you know, paid for most of my rent during school. But ultimately this down payment was my own money. Now, my mom is a realtor, so she found my real estate agent for me, and she got a small kind of kickback from that that she handed back to me as a gift towards closing. But I'm not going to consider that a handout because it was basically free money for my mom anyway. So ultimately, this down payment was my own. Now, how did I save up for that down payment? First off, I've been living in a van for 2 years. I built this van myself. I just bought, you know, an empty van, and it was all rusted out, and I cut a few holes in the roof for a skylight and solar panels, cleaned out all the rust and put in some floors and my old furniture. And that's really how I learned to build anything, was when I built that van. And by living in that for 2 years, I saved up a lot of money. Also, I worked during college. I always worked part-time. I pretty much always had a job. I was jumping from job to job and always picking up odd jobs. I mean, in my area, you could go on the Cal Poly Parents Facebook page and tutor college kids or high school kids, or deliver a cake for somebody's birthday. There was always work that you could find. Also, I started working full-time basically immediately when I graduated. Now, I got really lucky. I found a good job at a good company. Before I even graduated, I had secured this job, but I didn't start till a few weeks after graduation because I was finishing up building another van for a friend of mine. Now, not only did I start work immediately after college, but also worked as a handyman while I was working full time. So I was finishing up my day job from my computer at home, and then I would go work, you know, 3 to 4 hours each night. I probably worked a total of 65 hours a week for maybe 7 or 8 months before I bought this house. It was really a sprint to the finish line. Now, I did this because the interest rates were just so low during the pandemic that I really wanted to take advantage, lock in that low interest rate as soon as I could. And honestly, as soon as I bought the house, the interest rates ticked up and just continued to rise a few days later. So really, I just nailed the timing. I wanted to just say, though, if you aren't living in a van and your parents didn't help you through college, you can still do this. Now, I am a big proponent of doing what you love. And so if you really are passionate about something that you need a degree in, go get it. Go get that degree. Do it. Don't put anything else first. You should really enjoy your day-to-day job. That is my number one key to happiness. But if you don't really know what you want to do, or you just don't have the money for college and you don't want to go into debt, I would really highly suggest going into a trade, because I thought I wanted to be an engineer. Now, after doing some handyman stuff on the side, I love doing electrical work and it pays really well. But going back now, after getting a college degree and doing another 5-year program to become an electrician, even though I already know how to do most of the work, it's just not realistic for me. I'm not going to do that. So I would really suggest you look into and just try out a trade a few times. You know, just shadow a plumber or electrician for a few days and see if you like it. So another thing I want to point out is that banks will require you to have 6 months work history in a field that's closely related to what you graduated in, or 2 years of work history in anything. Now, since I graduated in general engineering and now I'm working in renewable energy, it's totally applicable, and I was able to get a loan. And also, don't take my word for any of this loan info. I mean, I'm such a beginner here. I'm just trying to tell you what I know. I'm sure that you could find a way to, you know, wiggle around the rules if you find the right bank willing to loan you money. But if you want to go the conventional route and just secure a standard conventional loan, which is really what I wanted to do, you're going to want 6 months work history after graduating college or 2 years work history if you did not go to college. Let's see, what else? Also, banks are going to want to see that you're salaried. They don't want to see an hourly employment, and they don't want you to be self-employed. Not that they won't lend to you, but it just makes it harder. Additionally, they really need to see you accounting for your money. Now, when I was a handyman, I was working for cash. I would only accept cash. I charged a 25% credit card fee. Nobody paid with credit card after that. So ultimately, I just used that cash and just spent it on items to keep the money coming in from my work from going out of my bank account. I just spent the cash. Ultimately, if I had been depositing lump sums of cash, my lender, the bank that gave me a mortgage, would have been like, bro, what are you doing? They would have not given me a mortgage because they can't get involved with tax fraud. They're also probably going to pull your tax returns, but don't let this scare you because I didn't even file taxes last year. I didn't have any substantial income. And so I just didn't file, and that did not affect my loan at all. Now, I got a conventional loan, and I was able to put down just 5% of the home value. So my purchase price was $470,000. I put down 5%, so that's $23,500. And my interest rate is 2.875%, which is awesome. So, well, I also have good credits that helped me get that 2.875% interest rate on my 30-year loan. And my mortgage payment is right around $2,300 a month. And now I was paying more than that in rent for a short time with my girlfriend in San Diego. So really, to have us ultimately paying less money to own and build equity than we were paying for rent, it's a no-brainer. Even if I wasn't seeing this as an investment with upside, we're just getting much more for the money. Now, a lot of people are thinking, well, why didn't you just buy the off-grid property right away? I've gotten that question from a few of my friends and family, and it's a good question. I would have loved to buy an off-grid property right away and then just built it up. But here's the thing. I'm working full-time, making good money. I like what I do. I have to have, you know, a place with running water and Wi-Fi, and I can't take months off of work to build that. Another, you know, obstacle is that when you buy a property, the bank is going to check it and make sure that it's livable. And if you can't live in that property and you don't have a place to live, and you want to put a significant amount of your income to this mortgage each month, they're not going to allow you to do that if it's not a livable property. That's why homes often sell in cash when they're not in good shape. A bank isn't going to fund a deal that is a house without a roof or a house without running water. They just can't get involved in that sort of stuff. So also, another thing to consider is the variable costs. Now, when I bought this house, I knew it needed just a cosmetic remodel. So it's going to be a cheaper remodel. I mean, we'll probably put $40,000 into this house. I'm going to guess because we're going to redo the kitchen and both bathrooms, but we're going to do that over a long period of time. And I'm going to do all the work myself with the help of my girlfriend and my friends. But if I were to get into a house that immediately needed $20,000 worth of work, like the well needed to be replaced, or maybe the septic system needed to be replaced and needed solar panels to get energy. Like, we're talking about moving into an off-grid property or a house that's in terrible shape that needs a ton of money right off the bat. That's not going to be something that the bank is going to pay for, right? So if you have a conventional loan, they're just giving you a loan for the purchase price. Then I would have to come up with the cash to make the property livable. That's just not possible right now. So I just bought a conventional house that just needs a cosmetic remodel. And this is something that a ton of people are doing. I think it's easy and there's a good amount of money to be made in it. I did not get an FHA loan, which it just did not seem like the best option. You know, I honestly didn't even look into it that far, but my lender explained to me that my payments are going to be lower with a conventional 5% down loan. The FHA loan will allow you to put down 3.5%. It's not that big of a difference. So I just went with a conventional loan. Also, my girlfriend is going to be contributing a little bit of money toward the mortgage. This is going to make it easier on me to save money for the remodel. So I'd highly suggest you find a cool roommate that is going to be okay with living in your house with you through the remodel. You know, it's not exactly perfect for renting out to a tenant while you're remodeling. That's a terrible idea. But if you know the person and you can make an agreement with them, then I think that is a good way to go. Now, what I'm trying to do here is kind of like what people are calling the BRRR method, B-R-R-R-R. So that stands for buy, rehab, refinance, rent, and repeat. So what you do is you buy a house that needs a remodel, you remodel it, and then you go to the bank and you can get a new loan called a refinance, cash out refinance, and that new loan pays off your old loan and potentially even puts some money in your pocket. You can loan up to 75% of a property's value. So let's say I bought this $500,000 house, this $470,000 house, we'll just call it $500,000 for simplicity's sake. Then if I want to see, you know, what I'd have to have it appreciate to pull out 75% of that value being $500,000, I'm just going to divide $500,000 by 0.75 and I get $666,700. So if I'm able to renovate this house to be nice enough to be worth about $670,000, and a bank appraises it to be worth that much, I can pull out all that money from the bank and I have no money left in this deal. And then I can just buy another house and rent this one out. So basically, I can continue doing this without actually making enough money to put any extra down. I can just keep renovating, moving out, renting it, and buying a new one. Now, that's just a quick look down the real estate scope for what I hope to do. But by no means is that necessary for you to think that buying a house is a good financial idea. However, one other thing I would say to consider if you're looking at buying a house: are you buying it in perfect shape? Is is there going to be any potential for you to appreciate the home by adding value and putting in sweat equity? Are you buying a house in an area where there's just one industry employing everybody? For example, is there just one automaker in town? And if that automaker goes out of business, is the property value of all the homes in the town going to collapse? Or are there at least two, three, four industries in that town that are major employers? Think about another worst case scenario, like, can you truly cover the mortgage and renovation costs with your own money if nobody else can help and things go really wrong? I just always like to prepare for the worst case scenario. Let's say that your girlfriend or roommate moves out. You're now responsible for the full mortgage. And as time goes on, you have to pay for all the renovations yourself. You're not going to get any help from family, friends, the bank. Are you actually able to do that? Like, what if your investment goes wrong, right? Are you prepared to cover all the costs yourself? Because if not, there's a chance you'll lose your down payment. If the bank takes your property, they don't pay you back what you've put into it yet. So always think about the worst case scenario. Now, I feel like that's all I have to say really about real estate. I don't want to make this a real estate podcast, but I'm interested to talk more about real estate as time goes on as well. Ultimately, I just want to give you guys an idea of where I'm at. And if you are wanting to do the same, I'm happy to teach you how to do it. Happy to teach you how I was able to save so much money so quickly by living in a van. I can talk more about that. I can talk more about where I worked during college. Just let me know what you're interested in. Thanks for tuning in for this first podcast, and hope I'll see you again next time.